Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it.
Today we are looking at John chapter 16. It seems like it's a fairly short chapter, and it's definitely building on the previous chapters. So I would say, if you haven't been tracking with us and listening to every episode, you probably, just for context's sake, want to like go back to at least John chapter 14 and kind of read through what's going on here. Probably the biggest thing from John chapter 16 is some of the things that Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and when we were reading through this chapter, I think the Holy Spirit is definitely probably what stuck out to me the most. However, there is a little bit more dialogue happening with Jesus as he's like discussing with his disciples, like kind of what to expect. And I think there's a moment where he is speaking to them where they're kind of like, oh, okay, now we kind of get what you're saying, because you're saying this a lot more plainly than what you have in the past. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, just a lot of comfort conversations, a lot of like what is to come conversations. And like I said, just him being a little bit more plain with them and not so figurative as they put it in the text.
Keep in mind that this is right on the heels of Jesus saying that the world will hate you. So if you just pick up in chapter 16, you'll be like a little bit confused. That's why I said you got to read the whole thing. But Jesus had just finished telling his disciples, like, the world's going to hate you. When they persecute you, the helper will come. And now in the beginning of 16, he's saying, hey, you're going to be thrown out of the synagogues. It's going to be hard to serve God, but you will persevere because of the helper. And one of the really interesting things he says, I would say probably one of the most powerful things he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So this is really interesting, because the disciples have been following Jesus for a long time. He is a very close personal friend of theirs. They look to him for direction. They look to him for wisdom. And here he is saying, like, no, it's actually good that I leave. Like, if you just put yourself in their seat, it's probably hard to wrap your head around, like, no, this is actually really good for you that I'm leaving and the world's going to hate you and you're going to be thrown out of the synagogue. You're probably thinking, how could this possibly be good?
Well, I think he's kind of been like preparing them for this moment too, because way back in like some of those initial chapters, he would kind of sprinkle it in a conversation that he was going to die. Mm-hmm. Then it would get a little bit more explicit, like, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised again in 3 days, and then I'm going to go to the Father. Like, it just continues to get more and more and more. And now it's like, well, you know that I'm leaving, but like, it's actually a good thing because I'm going to send this helper to mm-hmm. you. So it's like he's been kind of like grooming them for what to expect for a really long time. And now my verse that I was referring to earlier is when he is basically giving them some like final encouragement. Jesus says to them in verse 28, I came from the Father and I have come into the world, and now I'm leaving this world and going to the Father. The disciples look at him and say in verse 29, ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that all these things are all we know all these things that you do and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. So I think like this final piece, they're like, okay, we get it. You're going to go do your thing. You're going to go back to the Father. We'll still have you in this like helper person. I guess it's going to be okay.
This is really interesting. And I don't expect that everybody experiences the life the way I do, obviously. But there have definitely been times where I'm like experiencing something, like something as simple as like a confusing decision to make, or like a really heavy thing in life, like loss or depression or something, mm-hmm. where I've been like, man, if Jesus could just come and sit beside me and like give me like a big Jesus-sized hug or something, or Jesus could just come to me and say like, hey, man, it's okay. Like, that would mean a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And when I feel that way, I oftentimes end up remembering this passage in John 16, because mm-hmm. Jesus would tell me, hey, it's actually better that I'm not there because the Holy Spirit is with you. So it's easy to think of Jesus as someone who has come and like gave us a mission and then left. And a lot of times it's easy for us to think that he's left us alone. Like, Jesus was here, now he's gone. We look forward to being with him again, or he'll come back for us. But actually, the Holy Spirit is here with us. He's for us. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. He's moving and working in us. So don't miss the fact that God is in you and God is in you for comfort and for counsel, and you can still rely on him just like the disciples relied on Jesus. It's actually a pretty powerful reminder, I think.
Yeah, and I think this chapter kind of lends itself to understanding the Trinity more, because there are some people, and I have resonated here myself, where it's like, we know God the Father, we know Jesus from the text, but because Jesus is not here, like that unseen thing, like the Holy Spirit can mm-hmm. be like a strange, like we just kind of reject it, like we reject that part of God. Yeah. But I've also been on the flip side, where I have been in environments where the Holy Spirit is so elevated and we forget about
yeah.
God,
yeah.
or Jesus is so elevated and we forget about God. So it's interesting that I think he's kind of giving like that part of himself
mm-hmm.
space as well. Like, I don't know, they get to experience God in this new way now. And it also is, in my opinion, like trusting the Holy Spirit sometimes can be weird, because I think there's a lot of, I don't know, you have to have your own spiritual wisdom to know what is the Holy Spirit, what isn't. But I don't know. Experiencing it is very different.
If you're weirded out by the Holy Spirit, stick around for the book of Acts, because we're going to be mm-hmm. talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. It is not something, he is not somebody to be afraid of. What's interesting is different faith experiences, different denominations, either emphasize him like crazy, like there's no other part of the Godhead than just the Holy Spirit, or they actually shun him altogether, like, yeah. well, we love God, we love Jesus, but the Holy Spirit's kind of weird. I remember when I was a student at LBC, there was a coworker of mine, I was a student worker, and he was from Costa Rica, and he was like, you know what's weird about American faith? It's like, you just think the Holy Spirit's like a weird uncle or like a shady cousin. It's like, you guys don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And at that time, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't actually, in fact, I kind of am weirded out by talking about the Holy Spirit. And then we ended up at a more charismatic church, and it, like, I really enjoyed the time that we mm-hmm. had. Like, I think I grew in my understanding of the Holy Spirit, and I'm really thankful for that. So don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are, some of you aren't. Just embrace the Holy Spirit as your comforter and counselor, and remember that Jesus actually said your life will be better off without Jesus next to you, right beside you, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's a powerful thing, and it's a powerful reminder. For extra credit, if you look at verse 13, this is kind of interesting. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, remember he's talking to his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is interesting, because a lot of these guys in this audience are the ones who end up writing what we have today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is referencing the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to them that they can capture, that they can write, that they can pass on, that we can all benefit from. And we know that happened because we're reading John's account, and John is inspired by the Holy Spirit when he writes it.
I think, too, some of these men are going to be influenced in such a way that they are also influencing others who at some point, who will also see throughout the rest of the New Testament, they are being given the words. Like, they've actually been told they'll be given the words
right.
through the Holy Spirit to be able to speak when they don't know what to say.
Right.
And, like, we've actually heard that in other Gospels already, too. Like, don't be afraid when you don't know what to say on my behalf, because the Holy Spirit will be there. That helper will be there with you. So they've actually heard about some of these things before, and it will actually play out
exactly.
in history
exactly.
when they are put to the test, when Jesus is no longer there. So that helper does fully come into play.
So that's super interesting, because Peter himself most likely is in this audience. He's going to see what's happening at Pentecost. He's going to be the one that stands up and preaches this incredible sermon about what is occurring. He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for sure. Stephen may not have been in this audience, though it's possible that he was. Stephen is actually under persecution, being stoned by people for proclaiming Christ, is going to preach this incredible sermon.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is showing up consistently. So I am excited that we're going to be in the book of Acts here in probably the next week or two.
Yeah.
And we're going to see a lot of the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does for us and with us. And just remember, we should not be afraid of him. We should be thankful for him and embrace him.
The last couple of verses really like kind of closes out this thought of encouragement, but also kind of like Jesus again hinting at the Godhead. So in verse 32, just going to read the tail end of it. It says, yet I am not alone. Okay, so Jesus is referring to himself, I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. He also has been talking about the Holy Spirit before that. And then verse 33, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I think not only is like Jesus in this completely humble state, he knows what's coming. He is reassured by the fact that he is one with the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to be coming after him. But in all of his own tribulation, he's saying, hey, you're going to face troubles too, but don't worry about those things because I have overcome the world. Like speaking forward thinking, like I've already done it. So the things that you're going to face and be challenged with, I've already overcome it, and you will have the Holy Spirit as your helper.
This is a pretty big deal, and I really want you all to be encouraged in it, because I've been having some conversations recently with some people that are facing like really difficult things, because all of us at some point in time face really difficult things. I just encourage you to really embrace the fact that Jesus has overcome the world, and in him we have peace and we have security. It's one thing to read this and be like, wow, it's really cool he said that. And it's another thing to really come to a place of peace and security, even with craziness all around you. And that looks different for different people. I know that, you know, from all of you in the audience, you are all experiencing different things. I really want you to hear me on this. Like, know that Christ has overcome the world. He has power over the world. He has power over all the things you're facing, all the things you're afraid of, all the things you're uncertain of. And he has overcome every single one of them. Mm-hmm. It's tempting for us to want to bring about our own security, but we don't need to, because Christ has already accomplished it for us. It's not foolish to trust Jesus to keep you secure. It's actually what Christians do. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you to trust him and hope in him and know that he has conquered the world. There's nothing that can happen in this world that should cause us to fear.
So I think that pretty much clears up what the your part would be today. So hopefully out of this short but sweet chapter, you were able to resonate with something today. And hopefully the your part really stands out to you, maybe with something that you also may be experiencing or going through. Just sort of that constant reminder that Christ has already overcome anything that we are going through. So thanks for joining us today for chapter 16. We'll be back again tomorrow for John chapter 17. Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us, as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 16. I have said all of these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you who asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? And, because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she has no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.